we want to welcome you to the table tonight. We have Jesse. We've been like talking about it for a couple weeks.
He's here.
Yeah, he's here. We do talk about you quite a bit on here. I've told the story of New Year's Eve when you and Chris went out and you were witnessing to the guy at the movie place, and just, you know, how we were talking about being bold, and I just shared the example that was bold. I want to be like that, you know, where I see somebody who needs to hear Jesus and I'm just all in. And so that just really inspired me. So, but anyway, so Jesse is our Sunday school teacher, and Lisa brought the Sunday school book. Hold it up there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So it's a Bible prophecy.
Yes. And so we're going very slow, but we have to because it's just so much in prophecy. So how about introducing yourself, who you were, Jesse BC, before Christ, and, you know, kind of going from, you know, what your story is and to how you ended up right here.
First of all, let me thank you all for having me. I haven't done a blog since the beginning of COVID. And I really enjoy this because I think this avenue will actually reach a lot of people where we can't simply do it on the streets and, you know, just people we bump into. So thank you all for having me. If you all don't know anything about me, my name is Jesse. And before the Lord, I was a drug addict. I was heavy into pornography. You name it, I was doing it. Heavy metal head. I'm a big fan of Billy Crone. So if you guys know his testimony, that was me. But I remember it was March the 1st of 2009. And I just knew something was changing. Mm-hmm. And I was completely sucked into the pills, the cocaine, you name it, I was doing it.
Yeah.
And that weekend, I decided, you know, something's got to give. And I went into a detox program at Good Samaritan Hospital in Lexington for 2.5 days. And then I went into a rehab. And my birthday was on March the 4th. And on March the 5th is when I surrendered my life to Christ. So that's the birthday I hold to.
Yes.
That's the one that's most important to me. And my wife actually celebrates it every year, so I'm thankful for her.
Yes.
It took me 3 weeks to get to realize, or for me to even read through the scriptures, because now all of a sudden I had a hunger for his word that I could not comprehend. I just could not get away from it. I stayed with it, and I kept studying until he showed me about the born-again experience. And then when I realized this was all the hand of God of what he's done, because I no longer wanted to use drugs. I no longer wanted to look at pornography. I no longer wanted to drink. Even the cussing was absolutely gone. And to look at women incorrectly anymore was absolutely erased out of my heart. And that took him. But to make a long story short, here I am. We'll see, Lord, 15 years later.
That's amazing.
And I would have been dead if it wasn't for him.
Yeah.
I know it.
So I knew Jesse. I just knew teenage Jesse, because, you know, like, I'm the younger, his family went to our church, and so, like, he would come out with the youth group and do things every once in a while. So I knew Jesse as, like, the teenage youth group Jesse that was friends with with my brother, and I was just the little bitty girl. And so when I met his wife, she was speaking at the women's conference. I met her, and she had me over for coffee, and we're sitting there talking, and she's like, Jesse, this is my husband. He's just, I mean, your all's marriage, we're going to get you all both on here one time when we talk about my marriage, because, I mean, your marriage is divine.
It is divine from the beginning until
it
now.
It is.
Still pulses the blood of Christ.
I mean, it just blows my mind. Such a great example.
I love watching Chris in Sunday school just look at you with love while you're teaching.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yes. And when you do it right, the way that God has intended marriage to be, then that's what you both have. And you have so much fruit in your marriage. But anyway, Jesse, in the meanwhile, he was living on Center Drive. Is that right? And my husband's dad lived on Center Drive. So David, he's a 6-year-old boy and I'm 6 or whatever. And he was looking up to Jesse, who was playing kickball in the cul-de-sac. And he had this, I would always hear stories about Jesse, like how he would always want to be on Jesse's team and all this stuff. And so fast forward 8 months ago, I meet his wife and she keeps talking about Jesse. And I knew her last name was Newman. And I'm thinking, your husband is Jesse Newman? And she was like, yes. And so I called David and I'm like, David, the big tall guy at church is Jesse Newman. He was like, there ain't no way. But it's just weird now. And now David and Jesse are and mentoring.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm so thankful for you for not just being my Sunday school teacher, but also I'm excited for you pouring into to David and what that's going to bring, the fruit that's going to bring in our marriage.
I'm looking forward to it because I love him. And me and him, during the time that we knew each other as kids, we were pretty tight.
Yeah.
We really were.
I mean, I've heard stories and stories and stories of just, and he follow you everywhere. He's that little kid that just, you know, kept following you everywhere. But I mean, it's just, it's funny how the Lord brings things. Because here's the thing, David's, he's never really had that mentoring person in his life that he can see what it's like to be the leader of your home or whatever. And I think that's a lot of men in our in our world. They just don't know how to be a godly leader. And I can already see so much growth. The Holy Spirit's just working on him. So it is. It's fun to sit back and watch and, you know, kind of glean, you know, watch him glean from you. So, and I do. She does my hair. Chris does my hair. And so I sit and listen to everything she does and how she loves Jesse. And so I pick up on things. So, but anyway, so tonight we're going to talk about prophecy. That's not something that a lot of churches talk about. Mine didn't. And so that's why I feel like a sponge right now. So what is the importance of prophecy?
You know, I hear a lot of people say you got to be advanced in your walk with Christ before you really dive into prophecy. And I'll tell you, that's one of the greatest fallacies in the church. And the reason why I say that is because soon after the Lord got a hold of me, he immediately moved me in to Bible prophecy. I remember the pastor of the rehab that I was in, he started showing me things. He's like, it's near, man. They were talking about the chip back then and how this is leading up to the mark of the beast. And I'm going, the Bible really talks about stuff like this. So I started studying, and the more I studied, the more the Lord gave me, and the more I just kept soaking in. And it wasn't, you don't have to be advanced. You just have to be open to the Lord teaching you. And especially in the day and age in which we live in.
Right.
Because things are progressing so fast.
Right.
You.
We definitely feel over things over our head sometimes when it, you want to talk about how you feel? Because you're always like, I'm going to let you teach. But like prophecy and how it is.
Well, I know a lot for me, I feel like I don't know enough of the Bible to even get this far and start studying this. But Christy has shared Alan Nolan with me. And so after watching his videos, it's starting to kind of click and being able to put pieces together. That's what it feels like. It's like a puzzle piece that you have to put together.
And I think the more that you study it, the more you begin to understand. Because when you first read it and you're like, what is that? What's it saying? You know, a beast, a dragon? It seems supernatural. You know, we don't talk about stuff like that. And I think that's what keeps a lot of people from diving into prophecy is that it's so
I tell you, one of the greatest pieces of advice is, and if you're listening to me today and you hear this, it didn't come from me. Dr. David Reagan from Lamb and Lion Ministries, which he is now retired and he's still writing books. And I highly admire and recommend his work. And that's the book we're teaching, by the way. But he said,
it's this book.
If you believe what you read, you'll understand it.
Yeah.
So take God at his word, believe what he says. And then God will start showing you more and more. Mm-hmm. He's not asking you to get it all because it's like, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about mystery Babylon and about these things that are still yet future and you know, speculating on what speculation's fine and good, but you cannot hang your hat on it
yet
because it's not come yet. It's not here yet. And so therefore I must take it at his word. He says this is going to happen. So I believe it. And there's a blessing to reading the book.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to understand everything. He says, blessed are you who read and keep these things which are written in it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So prophecy, what I have explained is that we can stand on prophecy because of the past.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you want to talk a little bit about, you know, how prophecy, you know, happened and then Jesus came and things like that, and why we can stand strong on that part.
The way to interpreting Bible prophecy literally is literal interpretation. Jesus fulfilled almost 300 prophecies when he came the first time, literally. So if he fulfilled them literally in his first coming, then I expect that he will fulfill them literally when he comes back.
Right.
And I'm going to throw this out because it's still kind of funny to think about. Well, we were teaching through Revelation. And when we got into chapter 9, I remember a friend of mine, he actually says, you know, talking about how God's going to send an angel to open up the abyss. And from there, the king Abaddon will rise. And then also a horde of demonic locusts will follow. And the way they have their hair flowing and these stingers, and they're going to sting and torment men for 5.5 months. And he says, I can see where that's an Apache helicopter.
Yeah.
And I got tickled. But, when you don't take God at his word and you think it's okay for me to go in here and say, well, that's what it sounds like, so that's probably what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Then you're taking a liberty with God's word, which he says you do not have that.
That's right.
You don't have that.
And that's the biggest controversy I see, is that everybody kind of wants to put their opinion on what God's word says. Because I noticed a lot of our comments on there, they were like, it's not literal.
Right.
It's not a literal kingdom. It's not a literal 1,000 years. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's Revelation has so many symbol. It's all symbolism. And like, where... I don't understand that. Like, who told them that?
Right.
You know, because the God's word definitely doesn't say that. It, you know, I mean, there may be some symbolism in there, but I mean, I feel like when he says, you know, there's
when he says 1,000 years,
1,000 years is going to be 1,000 years. Yeah.
You can take it to the bank. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he
says it several times.
The key to understanding is, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says the natural man, which was what we were before we came to Christ, receives not the things of the Spirit. And I'll tell you a good case in point. The night before I got saved, I'm trying to read the Bible. I'd never tried to open the Bible up and read it for myself at any point in my life. But at that moment, I'm detoxing of drugs. I'm miserable. I've got restless leg syndrome. Everything is just upside down in my world. And the only thing I had was this word. And I opened it up to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I thought, I closed it, and I couldn't get it, because you done been taught evolution, you done been taught billions of years,
yes,
you done been taught all this weird stuff, and it just came creeping in and saying that cannot be true. Well, guess what? The next day, I can read it and understand it verbatim, because it's no longer me understanding the word; it's God showing me the word.
That's right.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to guide you into all truth, and he's going to bring unto your remembrance all things that I've already told you. So everything that you learn from his word, because Christ is the embodiment of the word, it's the Holy Spirit's job to not only show it to you, to help you read it, but to get it in your heart and help you understand it.
See, this is why we have Jesse at the table. And you know, and it does make sense. We get so aggravated because the people that we love, we're trying to witness to, and they just don't seem to get it. And that's the verse that says that they can't, because the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside of them. And so a lot of people will tell me, they will say, well, I don't understand what I'm reading. And, you know, I just have to say, you know, you need to make sure that you're saved, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, because he's the one who teaches you and helps you understand and things like that. So another question we had on our last podcast was, why do people believe that 70 AD everything was fulfilled? Why do people think that
a lot of people believe that because, and if you look at why they believe, a lot of people believe in replacement theology. A lot of people that believe in preterism or partial preterism also believe that the church replaced Israel.
Will you remind me what preterism means?
Preterism is the belief that all future prophecies, which we are looking to for yet future, they believe already happened in 70 AD with the destruction of the temple, with the scattering of the Jewish people. And if you know Ezekiel and you read Ezekiel and you read where God says, I'm going to send them out again. He's going to send them out from the land. He's going to disperse them. They're going to be scattered. Doesn't say how long they're going to be scattered, but then you also read further down, like you get to Ezekiel 36, and he says, I'm going to bring them back. Mm-hmm. So there had to have been a diaspora happen after Ezekiel was written. And actually, Ezekiel and Daniel were not friends, but yet they were in the same time period.
Right.
And he was not talking about the Babylonian exile, mm-hmm. where they went into captivity. He's talking about a second time.
Right.
And he said, this time, when I bring them back to the land, they're never going to be uprooted again.
Right. And so they have never been brought back to the land.
Right.
And we're kind of watching that right now.
Right.
We're watching the Jews coming back and speaking the languages and things like that. And that's why we tell people it's so important to watch what's going on in Jerusalem and stuff. You want to talk a little bit about kind of like what's taking place over there? Because a lot of people are confused. They're all like, free Palestine, because it looks like Israel is a bully,
yeah.
you know, and that's what the news and the media and everybody's saying. But why do we stand with Israel? I know some of these questions aren't on your page. I'm sorry.
And the prayer before we got started, you have your way.
Right.
There are things, and it's just like, I didn't realize when I was teaching Sunday school Sunday morning, and the Lord diverted me and had me going places, because there were actually people in our class that needed to hear that. And they actually came to me and said, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
So when you try to structure something like this, especially when you're wanting God's blessing on it, you got to listen to him. The reason why a lot of people have believed that the Jews are an illegitimate nation, that they do not belong in the land of what you call Palestine today, which is it was a name given to that speck of land by the Roman Empire after they exiled the Jews. Mm-hmm. Palestine doesn't even exist. I think it's amazing. Amir Safadi says in the Arabic language, the letter P doesn't even exist.
Right.
So
how can it be Palestine?
Yeah.
I think
the fallacies that came from the Jews are no longer God's covenant people. It's the church that replaced them. Those people also, the vast majority of the ones that I know, also believe in a post-millennial, post-trib rapture. Mm-hmm. They believe in total fulfillment of scripture happened in 70 AD. They believe there are some that believe that we will get things better on earth and usher in the kingdom. So Christ, when he returns, he's going to come back to a clean kingdom. Well, guess what? That ain't going to happen. You read 1 Timothy chapter 4, you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he actually talks about an apostasy coming when people are going to divert from the faith.
Yeah.
And I think it's dangerous when you try to tell the Lord that his word's not true. Well, Romans chapter 11 says, has God cast off his people whom he foreknew? And he says, absolutely not. He can never break his covenant.
Right.
He made a covenant with Abraham. He will never break it.
That's right.
And I actually, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I actually had a gentleman, he's Muslim, and we were talking about it. And he says, but the people over there in the land of, or in Palestine, are not the actual Jews from, and I'm going, well, how do you get that? Well, that's just what they say. And I'm going, well, let me tell you why they are.
Yeah.
God says there's going to come a time when the entire world is in an upheaval in the Middle East and the whole world's focused on Jerusalem, because he brought his people back. They made the desert bloom and blossom. They've become a huge economic, and I will say, problem to the surrounding Muslims and Arab nations. But the entire world is now focused on Jerusalem. And he says in Zechariah 12, he says, it's going to cause them to become a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. He's fulfilling prophecy. And if you don't believe that's the natural Jews there now, how in the world is it that his word is coming to life in the midst of those people that live in Israel today?
Right.
But if you don't study the word, if you don't know the word, you're just going to cast them off, because the world says it's not the Jews there anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All that's going on over there. And meanwhile, we've got America keeping us entertained, so we're not paying attention to what's going on over there. So why should we stand with Israel? I think that's the biggest thing, because we've got all these pro-Palestine marches and people getting on the bandwagon, like free Palestine. What is the promise with it? Why Israel? Why should the church stand with Israel?
If you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, God gives a law through Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God tells the Jewish people, the entire nation, these are the blessings that will come upon you when you keep my covenant, my commandments, my statutes, and you walk in my ways.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, this is the curse that will come upon you. Talking about the exile, the scattering out, you're going to become a vagabond. You're going to become a byword. I mean, you're going to, the pestilences, all these, all these things would come upon them because they rebelled against him.
Right.
And when you understand that Paul literally cried out and said, I could wish myself accursed from the cause of Christ that my brethren would be saved. But see, he believed in the Jewish people. They are the beholders of the first covenant. And because of their rejection, they were not thrown away. They were set aside.
Right.
So for the Christians, remember the gospel in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For in it is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone that believes, for the Jew first.
And the,
and all the Gentiles. But it's always been to the Jew first.
Right.
Even today, when you try to reach Jews, they tell you, I'm a Jew. And I've met people that claim that, but are not truly Jewish, but they hold to the old covenant.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wow, my Messiah was Jewish.
Yeah. And that's what people say to me all the time. They'll say, well, Israel, they don't even worship Jesus. Why are you standing? But they don't know prophecy that they will. They will eventually, they will claim Jesus as they realize that they missed it and that they crucified him. And so
that was in all of the Old Testament, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so, I know it's confusing to, it seems like to be the younger generation, it's hard for them because they don't get in the Bible. They don't read and know what the Bible says. And so what is the verse that says, you know, I tell you these things because when they happen,
you'll... John 14:29.
Yes. And so that's very important because, like, with what's going on now, you know, you can kind of see things like setting up, like you said, you know, for a prophecy to be fulfilled. And it's exciting.
Yeah. I think it's amazing. My wife and I were sitting, we walked out the back door and let the dogs out and stuff. And I'm sitting here looking at the trees. And we've got one huge maple on the left side that's, it's the buds are coming out on this tree. And I remember last year, it was close to this time, if not closer to the end of February before we saw it. But I thought it was just absolutely stunning knowing we're going to see trees start blooming early when I'm praying against any kind of a frost to hit our trees and our plants that are growing. But you see that, and Jesus used the same analogy. When you see the trees blooming and blossoming, and you know that summer's near, he skipped right over spring.
Right.
Because you're coming out of winter, the trees are starting to open back up again and starting to sprout forth. And he says, likewise, when you see all these things, know that it's near even at the door. And all the things that he talked about in the Olivet Discourse are literally shouting from the rooftops. And, you know, I get excited every time another bud coming out. Me and my wife sitting on the back porch and listening to the spring baby frogs starting to sing out. It is just... It's incredible.
Yeah.
So when you say, you know, pay attention to Israel, watch Israel, what should we be watching? Like, I know we watch Amir Sarfati. What else should they be watching? What is a truthful source or source of truth that people can watch and keep up with Israel?
I recommend Amir Sarfati from Behold Israel. He lives in the land of Israel. He is broadcasting straight up from the land of Israel. His Telegram page is Behold Israel. Can't remember the rest of it, but it's on Telegram. He has got the most subscribers on that channel. If you find a Behold Israel on Telegram and it's only got a few thousand, don't click on that one because there's a lot of fraudsters out there. Yeah. But I really like what Amir is broadcasting because he's giving you live data that's taking place in Gaza and also in Lebanon. They are striking Sidon on the coast of Lebanon that I read earlier today, and I'm just, as prophecy watchers, and this is where we got to watch out. It gets easy to hypersensationalize. It gets easy to get caught up in the signs and not realize how these signs are also impacted. We know, according to Zechariah chapter 12, that when all the surrounding nations invade Israel, that the city will be taken and the houses ravished and the women are going to be raped. There is no like my, especially a believer in Jesus Christ, that can ever say, I can't wait to see that happen. Because you can't. Mm-hmm. If you can, you're sick.
Right. That's the hard part for me, because I'm like, I'm excited, but I'm not excited because I know what's coming. Yeah. I know that, like, in if people are left behind, the tribulation will be hell on earth. But I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to be. I'm excited to see Jesus, and that's the biggest part.
The greatest thing about all of this stuff, and this is what we got to keep our eyes on, is exactly what Jesus said in Luke 21:28. He said, and after he described all the things that would take place before the tribulation, just the birth pangs, and he said, now when you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. Yeah. If we're busy looking out into the world at all the stuff that's taking place, and I really hope that a lot of people that are watching this realize that how fast things have transpired, especially since 2020.
Yes.
COVID, and Brandon Holdhouse is another one that I really dearly love, but he actually talked about the propulsion with which these events have actually just expounded since COVID came in.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see, I don't think, I know, as prophecy watchers, as students of the precious word of God, and also as children of God, when we're watching these things are going to get worse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not that it's a joy to watch any of it, because I don't. Mm-hmm. But as a prophecy watcher, as a watchman on the wall, it is our duty to keep an eye on these things and to be able to tell people, say, look,
warn people, yeah.
I can take you and show you the events that are going on. And I can show you in the Word of God how He's literally told us thousands of years ago that these things would transpire. And then I look at them, and especially if they're unbelievers, and I say, do you want to know more?
Yeah.
And I get a lot of times people go, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That just blows my mind. I think it sounds too scary. It is. People, there's a lot of people who run from the
bury their head in the sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of people, even though they see it, and I just listened to an interview with Richard Dawkins not long ago, and he says, even if he was to part the sky and come down and do all this wonderful stuff, he says, I know there's going to be a natural explanation for all of it. I'm going, wow.
Yeah.
How close-hearted are you that if you saw an event such as Christ riding out of the eastern sky and splitting the and dropping down on the Mount of Olives, and this is what I can't wait to do, because as believers, especially a believer in a pre-true rapture, we're going to be with Him when He comes back, and we're going to watch Him step foot on the Mount of Olives and watch that mountain split in half.
Yeah.
We're going to see all of that. And we're probably going to get a bird's eye view from it, so it's going to be absolutely rather incredible.
It will be. What do you want to ask something else? Do you have something? You had some stuff in the book that you were going to. Did you have anything?
No, just we were talking about why prophecy, and this book, it goes through why prophecy, yes. And so it gives you, you know, reasons given for ignoring prophecy. It's too otherworldly. It's all pie in the sky. It's divisive. It's Old Testament. It doesn't apply to me. And it's all too scary, which is what we just talked about.
I think that's the number one thing. When you start talking about, you know, bad things happening, it's better out of sight, out of mind. You know, if you ignore it, it's not going to be there. But I also feel like with some of this stuff, because people say, well, they've always said Jesus is coming back, or they've always, you know, that's what everybody says. Well, they've always said that, or it's always been bad.
You said something in Sunday school. Thank you for fulfilling that prophecy.
Yeah, that's right.
You said there'd be scoffers.
Peter chapter 3, he's talking about the last days and the culture that would literally exist during that time. And you can literally look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it describes it all. And then you go to Romans 1:18-32, and you find out how we got to where we are. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, knowing this, scoffers are going to come in the last day saying, where's the promise of His coming?
Mm-hmm.
For since the beginning, all things continue on normally. Mm-hmm. Well, as followers of Christ, we know things are not normal.
Right.
But to the rest of the world, they see this as normal. And they say, oh, He's not coming back. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And the most important thing about that verse is we now live in a time where the rest of that's being fulfilled, because He also says that they deny the earth was destroyed with a flood. Do you know, just over probably about 100 years ago, the flood account, and besides teaching the Bible and bringing classes, it was taught normally. This was an actual curriculum that was biblical, and they taught the earth was destroyed by a flood. But it's just since Darwin really got mainstream into our classrooms, where they literally are trying to say there's different explanations for it all, which it's just fulfilling his word.
Right. And it, that's right. That's right. So as a man, well, we have a lot of, we have a lot of women, but we also have men. We have very diverse families too. So we have men who are leading their families, and we have women who are, their husbands are unsaved. What should somebody be doing right now to prepare their family for what's coming? Like, I mean,
if you haven't watched the Left Behind, either the original set or even the newest one out here, here's what I'm going to tell you. You got family that's not saved. With love and with joy, remember the gospel is meant to be presented in a way to where it's not blasphemy. Mm-hmm. And that's what really breaks my heart about some people, that the gospel is literally being destroyed by people that are not saved because of the way it's presented. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I didn't come to you in excellence of speech. I didn't come to you with pervasive words. I came to you in gospel with power.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing that we are sinners and that Christ came for me. Mm-hmm. And the submission of that, get this, people, just because you don't believe it, doesn't negate the fact that it's true.
That's right. That's right.
We have a loving Savior.
Yeah.
And to get your people ready for what's getting ready to happen, leave the Bibles laying around. Leave them opened up to the book of Revelation. You can even write down a whole bunch of verses saying, if you see this man make a covenant with Israel for, and he's the covenant will literally be for a period of 7 years. That's how you're going to know this guy is the man of lawlessness. This is the Antichrist that has been said is coming into the world. And at that point, he's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no escaping the tribulation after the rapture of the church. But once you're in the tribulation, and I pray there's not a person in the sound of my voice that can see my face that would not make that decision today. Because if you're there, you're going to go through hell. But mark this, give your life to Christ because he loves you. There's going to be a huge martyrdom in the church during that time. You're going to see amazing thing happen in the land of Israel because that's where God's going to be focused. But the worldwide plagues, earthquakes, demonic apparitions that are going to happen on this planet are going to be stuff that the U.S. government's saying right now that there's, that we're now in contact with aliens and we believe in all this. Why do you think they're presenting this information this late in the game? And they've been hiding it from us for years.
Yeah, that's right. It's all coming to a, you know, when we're gone, they're going to have to come up with something, you know. Yeah. And we've been talking about like the way that the world will be, the condition, you know, there'll be people looking for their children and people looking for their loved ones. And it's, and we think it's going to be peace, but there's going to be chaos, you know, and then there's going to be this man come on the scene who has all the answers.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to trust him and he's going to, you know, kind of put things back together. And, you know, it's, we're just trying our best to get people to understand that you need to be preparing now. This is a time that you need to take serious, that it's different than any other time in the world. But that's what a lot of people will say to me, you know, is like, well, it's always been bad. Back in the day, they used to crucify people. And but Lee just said something.
The church isn't here. You know?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. One thing Lee said on Sunday was he was talking about, you know, how they believe that prophecy had already been fulfilled or whatever. But we've had a little bit of death, but we've not had what's going to come. Like what the Bible says, what, a third and a fourth towards the whole tribulation of people will die. There's 8 billion people in the world. And in the very first, it will say a third of people will, whoever's not taken in the rapture will perish. And then again, at the end, a fourth of the people alive or whatever. We've not ever had big numbers like what the Bible is describing. And so like when people say, oh, well, Holocaust or whatever, some of the other stuff, like maybe 1 million people died, or I can't remember how many, what the number was that Lee said, but that again, just put faith that we haven't, we're not there. We're at the beginning. And so I really struggle with anything other than pre-trib, because I just can't see it. I've tried to look at post-trib. I've tried to look at how people are looking at it. And I just think God's word says what God's word says.
You, when you look at all these different views of the rapture and how it's being taught to you, how it fits in, whether it be pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib, or pan-trib. Pan-trib is the definition. It says it's going to pan out. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, gosh.
And why is it that I believe in a pre-trib rapture so much that nothing else could possibly ever fit into God's prophetic timeline? It's because I just did a study, and it was over 2 months, but I went in and detailed how it's not only biblical, because of, from God's perspective on how he treats the righteous, it's in God's nature on how he deals with the righteous. It's also how Christ bought with his own blood the bride, which we are. And if you, I'm not even going to use 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm not even going to use 1 Corinthians 15. But let me, I did this on my phone. I normally don't do that. I had my Bible, but I did this so I could work on this the whole time trying to answer your questions beforehand. But if you look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, he says, because you have kept my word to persevere, I will keep you from.
That's right.
I take you out of it, not take you through it. He said, I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole earth to test those, listen to this, who dwell on the earth. Well, there's a difference between those who dwell on the earth and those who have been taken off of the earth. And I love what he's saying in Revelation 3:10, because you kept my word to persevere. Well, if you find out, what does it take to persevere? Keep your faith in Christ. Our salvation is determined upon our faith in him. Not anything we do. Not anything. There's nothing we can do to add to it. Because God says I'm righteous, therefore I'm righteous. There's no other quorum with that, because God says, because you've accepted my son, you are now righteous. There's nothing you can do to add to that.
Yes. And thank goodness. I'd be in trouble.
And here's another one. And I love what he says in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. He says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to go away. And if I go away, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he says, then I'm going to come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's done explained where he's going to be in the Father's house.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to come back when it's all done, and I'm going to take you there.
Right.
He doesn't say I'm going to come back here on earth, which if you believe in a post-trib rapture, the only thing that works there is that he's coming down. He takes the dead in Christ, he catches them up, and then the alive in Christ, and then he comes right straight back down to there. There's never a moment in time where John 14, 1 through 3 can never be fulfilled because we're on the earth.
I think a lot of pastors have abused that verse because they use it in funerals. And they just say, well, Jesus comes and gets you when you're dead, and then he takes you back to your Father's house. That's how I always learned that verse.
So when he's talking, John, in John chapter 14, he's talking to the disciples. And yes, when my grandmother passed away, that woman had the most beautiful smile on her face right before she took her last breath, because I knew she'd seen Jesus.
Right.
That is absolutely true. But here he's talking about he's got a prayer place.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He's still been working on it.
Yeah.
And he's talking about a time when he's going to take everybody.
That's right.
And he says, I'm going to take you to be with me in my Father's house. He said, if it weren't true, I wouldn't have told you.
That's right.
And then another one that goes along with that is Titus 2, 11 through 13. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. And he says, verse 13, he says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God, and there he claimed to be God. Don't you all tell me Jesus never claimed to be God. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This was something he told Titus after he's instructed him. He says, now, we're looking for our blessed hope.
Yeah.
The blessed hope is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he comes back at the end of the tribulation, that's not an appearing.
Right.
He's coming. He's coming. Every eye is going to see him. Every knee is going to bow. And he's going to destroy the works of the Antichrist, the devil and Satan and the false prophet. And he's going to be victorious.
Yes.
That's not just an appearance.
Right. That's right. So the time is now is to stand, right? Lisa was just sharing that she's under some spiritual warfare, you know, where she's standing firm and she's got people coming against her and telling that, you know, she needs to stop spreading the word. So that's normal for this time. And, and that we, you know, you, at any time, like how would you explain like a day, like you should, how you should go about your day as a Christian, you know, praying ahead of time and, you know, sharing Jesus and things like that.
As my father-in-law, those of you know who Luke Cruz is, he's a good man, and he says, when you look at how, I use this term all the time, you're not an American Christian.
Right.
You are a Christian who's been blessed to live in this nation. Mm-hmm. I don't look at Christian nationalism. I don't care about all that stuff. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. It's his will I want to do. So when I go to work every day, I'm getting paid to do a service for this company, and that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying all the time, Lord, is there somebody here that needs to hear about you or from you? Is there something I need to be doing while I'm here? We get so caught up because, listen, in the day and age which we live in, everybody's heard of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's heard. It's Christmas time. It's Easter time. Yeah, I love when the pastors go about Christmas time. We'll say, we'll see you at Easter.
Yeah. Yeah. The two times people come. Yep.
But I go throughout my day and I look for an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's like this, well, who is Jesus to you? And if they can't say anything, you know, well, can I tell you who he is?
Mm-hmm.
It might be something that you're interested in, but even then, the Lord will give you what you need to say.
Right.
You know, we don't have to practice all this stuff. Listen, your testimony is very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we look at the spiritual warfare that's happening to the church today, guess what Jesus said was going to happen?
Yeah.
You will be hated on all account of my namesake. So even when we're speaking the truth and we're telling people in love about Jesus Christ, it's still, for me, it was the same for you. It's the same for everybody that's ever followed and dropped to their knees and surrendered to a living Christ was simple gospel.
Right.
You know?
And I think a lot of times when people come against us, we think, oh gosh, we're doing something wrong. You know, we have to realize that that's what we're called to.
Automatically feel that guilt. Like, okay, what did I, I'm not how did I enough. Handle this yeah. correctly?
Yeah, I'm not
did
good
I say
enough.
Something wrong? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Those kind of yeah. things. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, is there anything else you want to share as far as prophecy and, you know, we have a little over 1,000 subscribers and, a lot of people,
praise the Lord.
Yeah. And we share on, you know, TikTok and Facebook. So I always share small little clips on TikTok as well. And so it's good, you know, a lot of people are going to be hearing this. So like if you had a message for somebody out there who a lot of people sense the Holy Spirit, but they're scared to kind of make that.
Yeah.
Because there's change coming. Yeah. They know that if they accept Jesus, that he's going to change their life. So, I mean, do you have a message or encouragement that you would want to leave with somebody?
If you read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he talks about how we are, as we see the day approaching, we are to encourage. We are to lift one another, be praying for the brethren. More so importantly, those that are ministering on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But as the day draws near, he says, all the more as you see that day approaching. My wife lovingly likes to remind me a lot, but the gospel is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but it's also his coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, we need to encourage one another. We need to be praying for one another. Pray for the ministries that you watch. Pray for this ministry. Pray for all the ministries that you are blessed to watch. If you do not have a church that is teaching Bible prophecy, literally, and where else are they skewing? Where else are they missing it?
That's right.
But if, I mean, if you're comfortable staying there, maybe the Lord's leading you to start a Bible prophecy class. Maybe the Lord's leading you. I don't know what you're where you're at, but let me say this. If you are in a church that's not even teaching it, believes it's pie in the sky and it's never going to happen, I would almost recommend that you find another church.
Yeah.
When I came to this church, I did not believe. Lee Cruz was also my 8th grade social studies teacher. But when I came to this church, I admired Lee because he was a very passionate teacher. Mm-hmm. But when I came, I said, Lord, all I want to do is go to a church that teaches the truth. Mm-hmm. If you pray that, if you're asking the Lord to reveal to you where you need to be a body, a part of that body, he'll lead you there.
That's right.
Because when I got there, he wouldn't allow me just to take everything that Lee Cruz preached and taught for granted. I studied for myself to see whether or not these things were true. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this. Get away from denominational teaching. Yes. There are lots of doctrines that denominations hold to. You got this church over here holds to this one. You got this one holds to it. It does it work in the Word of God? Because ultimately, that's your source. That's where you get your doctrine.
That's right.
And, you know, I would say, be ready.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming at an hour you do not expect. And when he says he's coming like a thief in the night, it's not to the church. It's not for the church. We're watching.
That's
we
right.
know he's coming.
Yeah.
He's not going to catch us unaware. He's going to catch the world as a thief.
That's right.
And if you know that your house could get broken into, you know a thief is going to come knocking on your door at 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to be sitting in my living room with a shotgun.
That's right.
If you know Jesus can come back at any moment, what does it do? First John says that that we need to prepare ourselves. We need to live holy and righteously. Titus 2 says we need to soberly. We need to be looking up. Jesus is coming back. Are you doing something that he would not approve of if he caught you today?
That's right. That's good. That's a good thing. We've said that several times. If Jesus came back today, what would he find you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and would it be glorifying him? Or
we've also said, study the Bible like your life depends on it.
Yeah, because it does.
Yes.
When Jesus was before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders and the Pharisees, and he literally got on them because he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But he says, they're pointing to me. Everything about the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, it's talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, let me find that verse real quick.
You know, while you're finding that, I want to say this. One thing that you said on Sunday was that with Revelation, a lot of people don't want to take it literal. Well, then we shouldn't take Genesis literal. We shouldn't take Romans. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it is in the Bible, then it is to be taken at what it says, you know. Not what we think it says. So
it's Revelation chapter 20. He says that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. When you're studying the Word of God, let him teach. Mm-hmm. Let him show you what it is he means in the Word of God. Now, there are tons of prophetic events that will take place in the future. And no, we don't have 100% fact on it yet. We don't understand them completely. But guess what? It's going to happen exactly like he said it.
That's right.
He told Daniel in Daniel chapter 12. He says, Daniel, seal it up. All the prophetic stuff that Daniel had been given for the last days, Daniel was tormented. He did not understand what God was telling him. But he told him, Daniel's not for you. He said, seal it up. For in the last days, knowledge is going to increase.
Yeah.
And a lot of people believe that that's knowledge, that here we are exponential. We've got AI. We've got all this other stuff. And yes, that could be some of it. But I think the knowledge that God's talking about is a revelation of what he gave Daniel. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That's unfolding in the book of Revelation.
Right.
And just, guys, be ready.
Yeah.
Be ready.
And so you said Amir, and then Jack Hibbs is another good one.
Jack Hibbs with Lord help me, I've done
Chino Hills, Chapel Hill.
It Chino Hills.
The Life Network.
Network. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Billy Crone from Las Vegas, Nevada. He getalifemediaministries.com. I follow him. I follow Tom Hughes. He's also California 412 Church. Pete Garcia. There's a bunch of great prophecy teachers. And listen, if you're in driving distance of Winchester, Kentucky, and you don't have a home church, I'm not asking you literally to come and become a member of Grace Bible Church, 250 North Main. I'm asking you to reach out. Sometimes you may have to travel for a while. You can go to Brandon Holdhouse's church. He's got a website, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield. Thank you. Bakersfield, California. You can go to his website. He's got a church tracker. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a church in your area, he's going to be posting on the churches that are holding the biblical line. Mm-hmm. Not these churches that are all full of fluff and puff, but they're doctrinally strong and they're teaching and walking the truth.
That's right. Billy Crone is actually coming to Grace Bible in September. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. We're not here. I really hope we're gone.
Amen.
But if we have to be here, then why not, Billy Crone? So, well, Jesse, we thank you so much for coming.
Thank you all for having me.
I mean, you put everything in your knowledge and, you know, she looks at me like I know a lot and I'm looking at you like, oh my gosh, I'll never be there. You know, just popping off Bible, you know, Bible it scriptures is, and stuff.
By the grace of God and by the precious Holy Spirit that I know what I do.
Yeah.
Because before I got saved, I didn't read books. I hated reading.
Me too.
I flunked math in school and now I know, my wife says I must be somewhat autistic or something because I've got numbers flying around in my head. And there's nothing against autism because I think I am. Be honest with you, because I've always got numbers running. But it's the Holy Spirit who not only shows you why he wrote it, what he wrote, and he explains it to you.
Yeah.
But if you don't get it, if you're not quite getting it, just keep reading it. He'll show
you. Keep praying through it. That's been my biggest thing. When I can't understand it, I'm like, Lord, increase my wisdom.
Yeah.
Increase my knowledge. Because I want to know, you know. And so, and I think that the more we talk about it and the more we study it, the more it, you know, it's just exciting.
I think reading the Bible and then going and finding sermons on
that. Yes, that's the best thing to do. Yeah. So if you're driving, you need a podcast, then, you know, Jack Gibbs has podcasts. They all have podcasts. You can listen to them if you're doing laundry, dishes. I literally don't listen to anything other than sermons and Christian music. Nothing else fulfills me. Once you have ate the word so much, nothing in this world compares, and it just it doesn't fill you up. And so I feel like sometimes I don't know if you do this, but I feel like if I've had a really busy day, I miss the Lord. I feel like I haven't spent enough time with him, and I'm like, you know, so it's just I miss him when I'm really, really busy. But
I think that sometimes that we get so busy, and the Lord knows it, but it's fun to just take a step back and just say, Lord, thank you for loving me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
When you're going through troubles, Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you because I know you're in control.
That's right. That's right. Just trusting him. So, well, I hope you all got a lot out of this. I know I did. Yeah. And, you know, if you have any questions, you can put them in the comments and I'll take them to Sunday school. And we'll have part two on here. But I do seriously want to have you and Chris on here and to talk about your marriage, because it is just, that's all I talk about with her, is that you all have this divine marriage, and it's where both of you equally are loving and seeking and being obedient to the Lord. And that is what it's supposed to be, where you both are, where it's not just one more than the other. And that's what the biblical marriage is supposed to look like. And it's hard to find.
I'll give you a key to that. God talks about a three-stranded cord. And how you look at if you ever look at a rope and the way it's intertwined, and he talks about a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. My relationship with Christ is first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
It's who I am. It's what I am. It's all that matters to me. My wife's relationship with Christ is the same way. And in doing that, when you look at how, listen, we're not going to be perfect for one another,
right,
but God takes who we are and knits us together in such a way where it doesn't matter that she can't do this, this, and this, or she's not working out this way, or I'm not doing the right thing here, here, and here. because of Christ in both of us, we are the beneficiaries of that union. Mm-hmm. But it has to go vertical first.
Right.
Every bit of it has to go vertical first.
That's awesome. So we definitely will get you guys back soon, probably in March sometime. So, but thank you again for coming. And guys, we'll see you next week.